This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk, and I've been having a continuing conversation with Sir Robin Knox Johnson. He is in Portsmouth, Hampshire, England, and of course I am here in the San Francisco Bay Area in California, the United States, and we have been discussing the time at sea and also gardening.
You were actively involved in sailing and ocean voyaging.
Yeah, you know, I went to sea when I was 17 and a half in the Merchant Marine, and we had the most fantastic training. I mean, bear in mind, in those days, Britain had 18% of all merchant ships, and we had a really good system set up for it. And I stayed at sea for the next 12 years, and then the trip around the world came up, and I did that. But after I'd done it, the whole system was changing, and I didn't like the way it was going. So I left the sea, and I built a marina on the Hamble with a bunch of friends, and, you know, I got into yachting, if you like. But, you know, it was time to change. Things were changing. The British Merchant Marine was collapsing, and it wasn't a good time to be there because you're going to be made redundant. So I probably picked the right time to get out. But after that, you know, I raced. I was in business, obviously, and I went to Oxford Business School. I still like my racing, so I kept on racing. I won the Round Britain race twice. I was in the British Admirals Cup team. The Whitbread race, I beat the Frenchman Tarbley in both legs I skippered. And then I went on to do other things like winning the multi-hull world championship. You know, I was just racing because I loved racing. And my poor wife used to put up with it. But occasionally she got me home and she'd say, the garden needs sorting out. And you say, reluctantly, okay, I better do this.
Do you like gardening?
Actually, I love gardening. There's nothing better to me than watching spring when everything's starting to grow and what you've planted is coming up and looking at it. I love gardening. I live in Portsmouth. We're fairly crammed in here. It's a city, 200,000 people, and I've only got a yard, really, with about 3 square meters of garden. But I've got plants in there which I love and I nurture. And what I'd really like is a lot more space to grow a lot more plants.
Thank you, Sir Robin, for that lovely chat. This past weekend, I took a tour of the San Francisco Bay in my sailboat Sandpiper and spotted 3 signal flags, CG over 1, on the port side of the San Francisco Yacht Club's mast. Those familiar with maritime history know that this configuration states, "I will stand by to assist you." The San Francisco Maritime Association hopes that yacht clubs around the world might also fly these flags. I will stand by to assist you. That is a great message. This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk.
That is the dulcet tones of musician Tammy Hall, who joins Karen Lyle and myself, Rick Tittle, here for this edition of SalesportTalk.com. First of all, Karen, how are we doing?
Oh, I am doing great, and you are too, because we're here talking on Salesport Talk today and have Tammy Hall as a guest.
Tammy, welcome to the show. It almost, to me, had a little Vince Guaraldi feel to it there, didn't it?
Oh, I love Vince Guaraldi, and good morning. Yes.
Good morning. And Tammy, you know, you just recently were the musician on a Grammy-winning album, so you're a Grammy winner. Was that a surprise for you? Or, you know, you have so many albums that could have won Grammys, and so this is the first one that did it.
Yes, it was a total surprise. And I keep being reminded that, you know, we all have that ultimate thing that we want, that we aspire to. And sometimes it just doesn't look the way that we imagined it would be. And so this is, you know, this Grammy is for a children's recording, best children's music album, made with the wonderful Indian singer Falu Shah. Who knew? Who knew?
We should explain that Tammy does a lot of the music that Karen Lyle does here at SalesportTalk.com and a lot of our pieces. And How many times is your in your life have people called you Tammany Hall by mistake?
Too many.
I'm surprised that they would do that.
Either by mistake or, you know Tammany Hall, don't you? Like, yeah, she's my cousin. Yeah, too many times to mention since high school, in fact.
Well, and Tammy, you grew up in Dallas, Texas.
Yes,
with a family upbringing. You had more than one adult in your life shaping your future. How did you decide to get into music?
I think it chose me, Karen. Pretty much at age four, I started playing, and at age five, I think I told both grandmas and one grandfather, I'm never getting married, and I want to play the piano all over the world. That was pretty much, I pretty much set my intention for my life at that point, and I meant it. I am not married, and I haven't traveled all over the world, but I've certainly been to many parts of it, for sure. Still got a lot of traveling to do. I hope that I can do that. But I am a full-time working musician.
Very cool. So what was your main discipline? Was it piano, or did you dabble elsewhere?
Piano was definitely it. My grandfather played, so we had an upright in the house that my grandmother bought for him for his birthday, and their nine children all learned also to play the piano on that piano, including my mother. So that was it. I also play the organ, and I'm a closet bass player and a closet drummer.
Well, Tammy, that must help you in your arranging, because you, when we did this album, 2 Weeks Inside Studio B, which I often quote from in the Salesport Talk spotlights that we do,
mm-hmm.
Over at Fantasy Studios, you performed three pieces, and I think Ruth Davies was there with you on bass, and they were improvised around a theme of for Aretha, and tell us about the piece for Aretha that you performed on that album.
Well, we had just lost Miss Franklin, and that was a song that I didn't have to sit down and work on. I used the term "it came through," as a lot of my compositions come to me as one. They come to me pretty much complete. The work I have to do is arranging them if I want to include other musicians on it, so they know their parts. But usually the song comes to me whole, and there it is. There's no other, maybe. I mean, the song always changes with each performance because it's a different day and oftentimes different musicians playing it. But that song was really inspired by my gratitude and respect and grief for Aretha Franklin. She's a huge influence in my musical life.
What would you say maybe if you had to do, like, a lot of times, an artist will say, I'm going to do a country album, or I'm going to do hard rock or whatever. What would be maybe another discipline that you really love?
Good music is the discipline I really love, and it might include any of those genres. I think, Duke Ellington said it best, there's good music and there's not good music, and the thing that works is how, if the people are responding positively to what you're giving them, to your offering, no matter what the genre is, then it's good music. And he really aspired to go beyond the genre, because that's just, it's so limiting to have to choose a box, to have to check a box, when if it's just good music, it doesn't matter what's driving it. If it's making you feel good, then it's good music. So that would be my discipline, good music. I just, I was just in a concert at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, celebrating 10 years of the San Francisco International Piano Festival. And the focus was on Bach. and the Well-Tempered Clavier. And there were other compositions offered by other composers, including Beethoven and some, and even Nina Simone. I presented Nina Simone because she loved Bach, and to also try to demonstrate or illustrate, if you will, that it doesn't matter who or where the music came from. If it's good music and it speaks to your soul, then the person offering it, that, what am I trying to say? It doesn't matter if it speaks to you and if it's positive for you, if it makes you feel better, if it helps you come to a resolution of some kind, if it calms you down, it just doesn't matter what the genre is.
I agree with that, Tammy, and music being such a universal language has taken you all over the world. You've been to more than 30 international cities. You've performed in the United States in Carnegie Hall, at Lincoln Center, at Herbst Theater, at SF Jazz. Tell me where you're, what's one of the memories that stands out for you in your travel as to just an amazing place to be?
An amazing place to be. Well, I would have to say it would be Brussels, Belgium, at the Brussels Jazz Club, which is no longer in existence. But that was one of my first gigs. This is back in 1987 when I went there for the first time, and that was my first trip to Europe, my first trip out of this country. And I managed to stay there until 1989. But that was one of my first headlining gigs at the Brussels Jazz Club, and I will always remember that. They just, you know, and there is a special acknowledgement and respect for all artists in Europe that we're still trying to get there, but we're not there yet here.
And then can you do a little Chopin's waltzes? Can you get a little classical?
I can do a little classical, not a Chopin waltz. I work on the minute waltz from time to time because I would like to have that in my hands, and I think it's one of my more favorite. It's one of my favorite pieces by Chopin, for sure.
Tammy, you've also been very involved in education and helping other artists. Tell us a little bit about what you've done in the city of San Francisco. And I think the mayor and others have acknowledged you for that, too.
I'm a lead teaching artist right now and have been for, 17 years with SF Jazz. I started off as an on-call teaching artist. And now I am a lead teaching artist, which means I am full time employed. Excuse me, by SF Jazz, as well as continuing my own independent, you know, freelance musician work. But we go into the middle schools in the San Francisco and Oakland Unified School Districts, bringing the history of jazz music. And meaning the history of Black people in this country into the classroom. Excuse me, not only in the band room, but also in social studies and language arts. We have two components. One is called Jazz in Session. One is called Jazz in the Middle. Jazz in Session is more instrumental, instrument-based. And Jazz in the Middle deals with poetry and spoken word and writing and the history of the blues. So that's been very vital in my life for the last 17 years. Also I've worked with the Handful Players, which is a children's theater after school program run by Judith Cohen, which I really love doing. I just saw her very recently, and I look forward to maybe to working with them again soon.
Last question for you. Has Karen ever found a piano for you?
Yes. She not only found it, and she had it, she let me play it. Set it up for me at the Butchertown Jazz Festival back in 2019. And Denise Perrier, who is no longer with us, was the headliner for that festival. in San Francisco back in October of 2019. And that was fabulous. Yes.
All right, Tammy Hall, we'll listen to a little more of the music on the way out. Thank you for coming on. And Karen, as always, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to co-host with you.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back on Sports Byline.